Good morning, and welcome to our daily edition of The Zelda Show, a sprinkling of music, news, interviews, and general chit-chat. Find out more about the Jewish world here and in Israel in a unique and easy manner. Your host and producer, Zelda.
Come fly, El Al, and your spirit will climb ever higher as your heart takes wing. And with the birds it sings, a song of joyous praise. El Al is the airline of Israel that calls for you with open arms. Come fly, El Al, come fly, El Al.
Good morning, and how are you this morning? Nice to be back with you. First and foremost, let's go to news and Arut Sheva.
This is Israel National Radio, the only independent news talk network in the Middle East, with news every half hour, on the half hour. Now, from the Israel National Radio newsroom, here's Ernie Singer.
The Knesset's Constitution, Justice and Law Committee has passed a bill authorizing a referendum on Prime Minister Ariel Sharon's plan to remove the Jews from the Gaza Strip and the Jenin area. The 9-8 vote came after Degel HaTorah's spiritual advisor, Rabbi Yosef Shalom Eliashiv, instructed the party's representative on the committee to vote for the referendum. Shas mentor Rabbi Ovadia Yosef told that party's representative to vote no. The measure is scheduled to come up in the full Knesset on Monday. Gidon Sa'ar, the author of the referendum bill, says the 2005 state budget will need a lot of work to pass the Knesset. Finance Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has expressed confidence that the 265 billion shekel package will pass now that it has been approved by the Knesset Finance Committee. Failure of the budget by the end of the month will cause new elections and possibly delay implementation of the Sharon plan. 45 demonstrators who blocked an intersection near the coastal city of Netanya in protest of the Sharon plan appearing in a Tel Aviv court today. Prosecutors asking the protesters be charged with endangering human life under the Get Tough policy of Attorney General Menachem Mazuz following a similar protest in Tel Aviv last week. Public Security Minister Gidon Ezra says the two incidents point to police failure. A group of Christians and Jews operating through mass emailings is organizing around a campaign to bombard the White House with protest calls against the Sharon plan tomorrow during the pre-Purim fast of Esther. The organizers say the campaign was decided upon in consultation with the people of Gush Katif and a number of organizations and churches. Americans for a Safe Israel has agreed to launch the campaign to its email list, according to Sandra Osterbaras, the director of the Israel Office of the Christian Friends of Israeli Communities. Baras says it's not an official organization activity, but a private initiative. Spokespeople for Hebron's Jewish community have also publicized the campaign, adding a request to also call the Prime Minister's office. Echoing the U.S. campaign literature, the representatives say, if millions contact the Prime Minister on the same day, we will be heard. An urgent meeting of the Council for Higher Education today to discuss protests against budget cuts. Students at the University of Haifa inviting their counterparts from other Israeli schools to what they call the mother of all demonstrations against the cuts. The army has placed a full closure between the PLO-assigned areas and the rest of Israel until the end of the Purim holiday this weekend. Security forces are trying to protect large holiday gatherings from terrorists. United States Deputy National Security Advisor Elliot Abrams and David Welch, who heads the Middle East desk at the State Department, meeting with the Prime Minister and other Israeli officials ahead of Sharon's visit to the United States next month. The Americans asking for clarification of plans announced this week for 3,500 new housing units over the 1949 ceasefire line. The diplomats are scheduled to meet with PLO leader Mahmoud Abbas tomorrow. Russian President Vladimir Putin to make a historic visit to Israel at the end of April as a guest of Israeli President Moshe Katsav. It will mark the first ever visit by a Russian or Soviet leader to Israel. During the trip, Putin will meet with Prime Minister Sharon and other senior Israeli officials for talks on advancing Middle East peace talks. Government sources in Jerusalem say that Putin's visit is meant to show that Russian-Israeli relations have not been harmed by a strain over a planned Russian sale of advanced arms to Syria, including anti-aircraft missiles that Israel is worried could be used against Israeli planes or end up in the hands of Lebanese terror group Hezbollah. Sharon has not ruled out that he may visit Russia in the near future. The Prime Minister has visited Moscow three times since taking office in 2001, with Russian technology aid to Iran one of the top issues on the agenda each time. Katsav is scheduled to visit Moscow in May to attend Russian ceremonies marking VE Day, the 60th anniversary of the defeat of Nazi Germany. Israel's High Court of Justice bidding farewell to Judge Yaakov Turkel, who winds up a 38-year career on the bench, including more than 9 years on the Supreme Court today. Turkel's retirement means that the Judicial Appointments Committee will have to fill two slots in the near future.
Joining us now is Dr. Daniel Radd, a graduate in medicine and surgery from Rome, Italy, specializing in permanent allergy elimination and negative emotional release. Dr. Radd is also a researcher in alternative medicine. If you're suffering from food and environmental allergy reaction or have negative emotional issues, call Tuesday or Thursday, 416-269-0151, or Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, 416-535-8034.
Hi, Dr. Radd. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Zelda. I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Nice to have you with us. Okay, yesterday we were talking about digestive problems that were caused by psychological or negative emotional issues. Did you want to continue on with that?
Yes, why not? I believe, all of us, we believe, we experience one by one. When there is some emotional problem or psychological or negative emotional issues, it hurts and disturbs whole system, and weakest organ, weakest system will be first victim to fall apart or start demonstrating some dysfunction. The kind of, let's say, panic attack, anxiety attack, worries, fear, and so on. Each organ has its own specific negative emotional issue. In other words, a specific negative emotional issue as a negative energy can be stored in each specific organ. Let's say, talking about GI system, we say GI system or gastrointestinal system, mostly large intestine, is a location of, we say, all negative stuff. That means fears, survival problems, sex problems or sexuality problems, harassments, insult, rape, and whatever is regarding this matter. And surviving, it doesn't mean just bodily, physically. Surviving emotionally, issue will be stored in GI system, mostly in colon or large intestine. So therefore, if a person is suffering from constant constipation, or, you know, long-term constipation, or does have bloated or stomach gas or gassy stomach as, or diarrhea, or mushy stool, loose stool, anyway, disturb GI system. For sure, these people, they are suffering from fear, they are suffering from negative emotional issues experienced in past, accumulated for years and years until it gets worse and gets max, reach to max to explode, which is demonstrating symptoms. It could be diagnosed as a colitis or ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease or irritable bowel disease or irritable bowel syndrome. And we find out these people normally, they went through lots of negative emotional issues or lots of stress. It could be financial, it could be private, it could be business, it could be anything under the sun, or in relation with the workplace, relationship with everybody. So negative emotional issues in gastrointestinal system will produce gastrointestinal problems, which is the worst one from my point of view, because we need gastrointestinal system be functional normally, regularly, in order to feed whole system. Otherwise, other gas systems will fall apart slowly, gradually.
Okay, that's very interesting to hear about, Dr. Radd, and I hope that people will understand how NAET can be of great service to them and erase all of those problems. Dr. Radd today is at 416-535-8034. Don't forget, the consultation is free. If you hear it, if you mention it, that you heard it on our program. Dr. Radd, we can continue this tomorrow. We'll talk about other issues.
Sure.
Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Dr. Daniel Radd will return tomorrow morning with more information on allergy elimination and other complementary methods. Dr. Radd is located at two convenient locations, 2753 Eglinton Avenue East, Suite 202, telephone 416-269-0151, or 800 Bathurst Street, Suite 205, telephone 416-535-8034.
The Mitzvah Moment with Rabbi Mendel Kaplan is proudly made possible by the Unity Referral Network, URN, bringing Jews together in business and pleasure. For business referrals, visit our website at www.unityreferralnetwork.com. We'll be right back. Buying or selling a home can be an effortless journey or one filled with twists and turns. Nat Stark, a RE/MAX Platinum Award member with 18 years' experience, can make the ride fun and rewarding. Nat Stark's keen knowledge of today's real estate market will help create a solid investment for the future. For a free market evaluation and sound advice, call Nat Stark at 905-764-6000 or log on to his website at www.natstark.com.
Good morning, Rabbi Kaplan, and Chag Sameach to you.
Good morning, Zelda, and Chag Sameach. You know, one of the beautiful mitzvahs of Purim is to share gifts of food with friends, and we are told that the primary reason for that is to create good feelings and to ensure that everybody is able to fulfill the mitzvah of rejoicing on Purim without any shame, and that nobody should have to need to come and ask. Of course, one of the mitzvahs is to eat. And this way, everybody has food. And there's an interesting correlation in the Parsha. The Torah continues to talk about sacrifices, and there was something called a korban ola, which is a burnt offering, and represented a very, very lofty type of service. Somebody who reached out and made the ultimate sacrifice to God, where he received nothing in return. And there was another type of sacrifice that was brought by, quote-unquote, the sinner. And the sinner had to bring a sacrifice in order to atone for himself. And the Torah tells us that the maaseh hachatas is identical to the ola. So when somebody would be seen in the Beit HaMikdash bringing a sin offering, nobody would know if they were bringing a sin offering or if they were in fact bringing an ola, which is a very lofty way of serving Hashem. And this was done to protect the identity of a sinner, so that nobody had to feel any shame and nobody had to feel any embarrassment. Real tzedakah, Zelda, begins with keeping an eye and ear peeled to see where there's a need and to address the need before somebody has to get up and embarrassingly ask for help and tell others that he is needy. And if we can have that in mind, we'll be able to celebrate a wonderful Purim with light, gladness, and joy for everybody, and nobody should be shamed, and every one of us should be able to experience the pageantry and joy of Purim in the fullest sense. And let us hope that Mashiach will come yet this Purim, and our joy will be complete. Amen.
The Mitzvah Moment with Rabbi Mendel Kaplan will return next time, brought to you by the Unity Referral Network. For business referrals, visit us at www.unityreferralnetwork.com. QualiCare, the solution-focused healthcare approach with Andrea Nathanson. For more information, please call 416-628-7449 or log on to www.qualicare.ca. After our message, Andrea Nathanson. Being ill or caring for a loved one is an extremely challenging experience. Yet with the expert help of QualiCare, there are many solutions available. QualiCare is a company that recognizes the difficult circumstances families face and was established to help people sort through all the complex issues that arise. QualiCare helps establish short and long-term goals of care and will be your partner for the future. Call QualiCare at 416-628-7449 for a consultation today or log on to www.qualicare.ca.
Hi, Andrea. How are you this morning?
Good. And you?
I'm well. Nice to have you with us. It was really a pleasure to have you and Wayne in the studio last week.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I truly enjoyed it.
Thank you.
I'm wondering, during the holiday season, and we're getting into, you know, Purim, but Passover, when people decide to go on trips, they leave people behind, and sometimes they do that, they don't really have the help they need for elderly parents or something. Do you take care of sort of interim kind of people as well when people go away?
Very, very good. Yes, we do. We do a lot of that. We do it around the Hanukkah Christmas season, where a lot of people go away, and we do a lot of that in these months when people have gone down to Florida, where we get involved and manage. You know, a lot of these people have caregivers who are in place, but we sort of oversee. If there's a problem that arises, we're able to help troubleshoot it and manage the situation, manage the caregivers. So people often call in advance, when they know that a holiday's coming up and that they're planning a trip, or that they're just going to be very busy. so we get involved to try to help them through that time. We don't want people to always call us when something negative is going on or something traumatic. It's nice for people to go away and recharge their batteries. And it's also good to have another eye on the scene.
Absolutely.
So, you know, sometimes we get a little blurred, even on certain cases, I get a little blurred after a while, and I bring another manager in to just make sure that I'm having the right clarity of the situation. Well, families are right up close. They often get very blurred by all sorts of things that get in the way. So having another eye on the scene for a little while, you're a little bit further back, you can see it with a little bit more clarity, make some little, tweak it a little bit to try to maybe improve it, or sometimes it's moving towards a crisis and we're able to stop that from happening because we've been...
In many cases, Andrea, there are lots of people who get better when they're with QualiCare because of the kind of care and efficiency that you provide.
They do get better. That is a truth. That is something I am incredibly proud to speak about. Our clients get better. Granted, some of them, we do have palliative care, and we do a lot of that, and I'm very proud of our palliative care work that we do because we help people to go through that phase of life in a very calm and comfortable way, supporting the family, so that is still a success story. But the other situations that we're involved in where we really can take a person who's had a stroke or a person who's had a fracture or a person who's had a heart attack or somebody who has cancer who's on the mend and really change their journey and put it going in the right direction. So we are very successful, and I think that it's really important to say that caregivers, you know, they need to be managed. Sometimes it's even hard for families to manage them. They need to be managed. They're looking after people who are frail, who have lots of medications, who have lots of things going on. And they need an expert, you know, who can guide them properly and teach them. So there's so many good reasons why to bring somebody in, even if it is for a respite, you know, which is sometimes very important.
I think that a child, a parent, or whomever is getting the care from yourself or what have you, really, as you said, can't see the forest for the trees. They're so emotionally involved that they really need to stand back and have someone like QualiCare come in and assess the situation.
It makes it
so much easier.
They're exhausted. They're burnt out. And their families feel guilty. I mean, I hear this all the time from these poor, sweet people. They say, I don't want to be a burden on my children. I don't want to be a burden. And I always like to say that, as we've talked about before, Zelda, you and I, that, you know, it's a responsibility of a child to help their parents. It's important to do that.
Well, it's,
always
they
try
always
to tell them,
you're
not a burden on them. This is what they are. It's good for them, too, to help you, but within certain boundaries. We don't want them doing certain levels of physical care. That takes away the dignity of the elder. So there's certain ways, but they should not feel like a burden. It's a mitzvah.
Absolutely right.
And
it's interesting how, you know, one parent can take care of 20 children, but one child finds it hard to take care of one parent. And,
I know. Amazing, eh?
It's amazing. Anyway, on that note, we're very thrilled that QualiCare can help with all of those kind of services, and we certainly hope that people will take advantage of it. Thank you very much, Andrea.
Have a wonderful Purim, and have lots of fun.
Thanks, you too. We'll talk to you next time. Bye.
QualiCare, the solution-focused healthcare approach with Andrea Nathanson, will return next week. For more information, please call 416-628-7449 or log on to www.qualicare.ca. Our B'nai B'rith Report is brought to you by Uptown Gallery, 43 Martin Ross Avenue in North York. Uptown Gallery, telephone 416-739-1929. We'll be right back. Have you heard the news? Uptown Gallery is gearing up for another great season of incredible auctions starting in September and taking place once per month after that. Uptown Gallery has a showroom filled with 1,000 original art, prints, rugs, furniture, antiques, and much more. And you're invited to drop in and take advantage of the incredible prices. Uptown Gallery, 43 Martin Ross Avenue, open Monday to Friday, 9 to 6, and Saturdays, 10 to 4. That's Uptown Gallery.
Joseph Benamy is with us this morning from Ottawa. Joseph, how are you? And hug Sameach to you.
Thank you, and you too. I'm doing quite well.
Are you going to be in town the last Thursday in March?
Am I going to be in town the last
Thursday? Yeah, because if you were, we'd love to have you on our open line show. Look at your calendar and see what you're up to.
Do you want me to do that now?
No, not now.
We'll
talk about this after. I just thought I'd pose the question to you right now. Okay, let me just start by saying that the Palestinian Authority is stopping as many terror attacks as Israel, but it has done absolutely nothing to dismantle the terrorist organization. And that, it was said by Brigadier General Yosef Cooperwasser in a briefing before the Foreign Affairs and Defense Committee yesterday. So what in fact are they doing? And why are we going through with the disengagement if nothing really is being achieved?
Well, first of all, I wish I had more inside information than I do have to be able to explain the rationale behind the disengagement plan, that is to say, unilateral disengagement. I don't, and, I'm just as much in the dark as to the justification of it as many other people are. With respect to the Palestinian Authority stopping terrorist attacks, it is true that they have intervened to stop terrorist attacks. It's also true what you're saying, that they haven't really moved yet to dismantle the infrastructure that's supporting those terrorist attacks, which, and by the way, I think it's instructive, and let's just pause for a minute to note the significance of hearing that the Palestinian Authority is still having to engage in activities to stop terrorist attacks. That means that the attempted attacks are still going on despite the passing of Yasser Arafat, despite the election of the so-called moderate Abbas quote-unquote pseudo-government. One thing that I'm more troubled by, though, is I'm still hearing a lot of extreme rhetoric coming from Abbas himself, and coming from the Palestinian Authority in general, accusing Israel of not keeping its commitments, of inciting violence, etc. This is not the language of negotiation and peace and reconciliation. And it's not surprising to me that these terrorist attacks organizations are still trying to perpetrate these terrorist attacks when the leadership of the Palestinian people doesn't say clearly and unequivocally, enough of the bloodshed, we want peace.
Nothing really has changed, Joseph.
Not really. The faces change. Some of the strategies change somewhat. But the problem is ongoing, and it's not going to change overnight.
Well, okay, I've been reading some of the editorials. The New York Times has an editorial that is really, I mean, the New York Times, from everything I've ever read in many cases, is quite seemingly not on the side of Israel. It says here, one step back in the Middle East, and it's an editorial, but it doesn't give an individual's name. It says maybe Prime Minister Sharon of Israel doesn't quite get it yet, but this new era of hope in the Middle East means he needs to restrain his instincts for settlement building. And he says on Monday, Israel publicly confirmed plans to expand the already large settlement a few miles east of Jerusalem called Mele Adumim. And
can you imagine the rationale of somebody calling that town, that small city of over 30,000 people, a settlement? It's mind-boggling.
Okay, so basically what you see is you read these kinds of things. People read them as well, Joseph, and have absolutely no understanding of the situation. And then they just go ahead and think, as always, that Israel's in the wrong. Here on NPR Radio, it's fundraising season at American National Public Radio. And for Israelis unfamiliar with the network, NPR is a producer and distributor of non-commercial news, talk, and entertainment programming. But it's always earned a reputation for its long-standing bias against Israel. But is that now beginning to change? And as you read further into it, you will see that most of what's being said is basically against Israel and not for. Have you been, do you know who Peter Kenyon is from NPR?
I do, as a matter of fact, yes.
Okay, okay.
Yeah,
give us some understanding. I mean, you hear this New York Times editorial, then you have this NPR. So how can people get the right idea if they're getting wrong information?
Well, you know, you hit the nail on the head precisely. The public is inundated with misinformation and mythology about the conflict, about, you know, its roots and its causes. And consequently, they agitate and put pressure for resolutions that really are not going to resolve the underlying reasons for the conflict, which, you know, let's say it.